Velkommen til en litt spesiell episode her på Drinkfeed. Vi skal snakke om whisky. Akkurat det er kanskje ikke så spesielt da, men det som er litt spesielt er at den er fra Japan. Og i seg selv er kanskje ikke det helt spesielt heller, men denne whiskyen, som jeg lærte å si, heter Toguchi.
Toguchi, yeah.
Som vår aller beste venn Ko nå kom inn og hjalp meg med. Jeg skal introdusere han om et litt øyeblikk. Den er laget på sakefat. Altså sakefat finish. Og det er litt kult, for det har ikke jeg vært borte i noe særlig, så det blir spennende å se om den saken der tilfører noe. Men vi skal se på engelsk, for vi har med oss to hyggelige mennesker her fra Japan. Det er høvdingen selv, CEO. And welcome to you, Ko.
Hei.
How do you find Norway? Is it cold? Cold enough for you?
It's warmer than I thought.
Warmer than, of yeah. course, we are very atypical now. It should be a lot more snow and ice. We are recording this in beginning of December, and it should be much more colder, but it isn't. And you have brought with you your head of export to Europe, Yoko. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And you two have been traveling all around Europe before you ended up here.
Yes, this is our final destination.
Final destination before you're returning to Japan.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And I'm very happy that you found time to visit us on Drinkfeed and all. So, I know that the distillery is in a quite famous town in Japan named Hiroshima.
Yes.
Infamous because of the nuclear bomb ending the Second World War. And how is it to live and have that background from that particular city? Do you think about that daily, or is it just something that's there?
You are talking about the nuclear bomb. When I was a child, I learned about a lot in a school. Yeah, so it's kind of big thing for people living there. Yeah.
And Yoko, did you have any stories from your parents or grandparents from that time?
Well, actually, as a kid, I learned a lot about the atomic bomb dome dropped in Hiroshima because it's a tragic, experience. And but I think many children in Hiroshima Prefecture who lives in Hiroshima Prefecture gets education more about their history in Hiroshima and never to repeat that again.
Yeah, well, let's hope that never have to occur again. We're going to talk about whiskey, not about nuclear bombs and those sort of things. Your distillery or brewery dates back to, you told me, 1918?
1918.
And it started up more like a brewery?
Yes.
No brewery. We started as a shochu maker. Shochu is a Japanese traditional spirits.
Okay, so you started with spirits right away. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about that spirit. What's that?
Shochu. At that time, we made shochu from a sweet potato. And
Okay, so you made the spirits made on sweet potato.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. You still make it?
Do we still make it?
not actually. We still have the...
The liquid, yes.
You still have the liquid, but you're not in a production.
We don't distill anymore.
When did you start producing whiskey then? Because whiskey is it takes a long time to mature, and and you are running about 10 years cask and special cask the maturing. When did you start with whiskey?
Actually, we got a license for making whiskey in 1920. And we don't have a lot of history. I mean, we lose some documentation, but company staff investigate document in the past. And we found in 1920, we made a 9-batch of whiskey. I don't know what ended up the whiskey. I don't know.
You don't have it still.
Yeah, no. I don't have it anymore. So,
but you have been producing whiskey, and for those listening that don't know, that Japan has a very long tradition in making whiskey. We just didn't know it here in Europe and Norway until 2001.
Yes.
we're another brand, a competitor of yours, Denica, yes. 10 years old, managed to be awarded the best whiskey ever that year, beating all the Scotch and Irish and everything. Do you think that that was a sort of a game changer for Japanese whiskey in Europe and in the global market?
I think the history of Japanese whiskey started around 1918, which is the year we established our company. You know, Masataka Taketsuru, he traveled to Scotland to learn how to produce whiskey. And that's the year when we established our company. And 2 years later, as Cole said, we took the license for whiskey production. And we actually produced 9 batches. So we've been producing whiskeys for a long time. And as you said, I think our major Japanese whiskey major player is now Suntory and Nikka. And I think they have a great influence in Japanese whiskey market.
Are they sort of leading on and you are following?
Yes.
Or do you try to think out of the box yourself and invent new paths to go?
We want to be number 3.
You want to be that's quite modest. Yeah. Not number 1, but I want to be number 3.
Yeah. Well, we have to be number 1. I don't know. I can do it. Not.
Yeah, well, you just have to be on a garden. Ko, what is your vision of a perfect whiskey? How do you visualize that whiskey?
Perfect whiskey?
Yeah.
I don't know. But we try to make good whiskey year by year. So because we used to make whiskey, but we quit making it, I think, around 1980. And we just restart 2017. So we are just, how to say, still training.
Still learning how to make it.
Yeah, well,
that's quite modest, since you are here with a quite an interesting range, actually, with the whiskey. In a minute, we're going to try tasting the Saki cask edition. And I have to say, I'm quite excited to learn about it. Mm-hmm. But first, what does Europe mean for you guys in terms of exporting and selling and make your label known? Is Europe a big player, or do you prefer other continents?
Yes, European market is very important for us. We have to talk about our history when we talk about the European market. So as Mr. Ko said, we had to temporarily stop the production of whiskey because we couldn't sell a lot anymore. End of 1980s, and we had a lot of stock. And so we were looking for a stockyard to place our whiskeys, because we were selling a lot of shochu, which is Japanese vodka, and sake at that time. We needed more space to stock these products. So we were looking for space to stock our whiskeys, and we found this tunnel called Togouchi. And we just kept our stock there in the tunnel.
So Togouchi means a tunnel.
Togouchi means is the name of the place.
Okay, that's the
name of a
place.
Name of the place.
And Togouchi, somewhere it's a tunnel.
In Hiroshima, okay. Togouchi in the Hiroshima prefecture. And we didn't know how to sell our whiskey. We didn't know how. And we just kept there. We didn't intend to mature our whiskeys there. We just kept there. In 2010, that's when Arnold... he's a Frenchman. He reached out to us and he said he's going to buy all our whiskeys. Why? Because we didn't sell any whiskeys at the time.
just to clarify, you had all this whiskey just stuck somewhere.
Stuck, yes. We knew, we were just looking for somewhere else to, keep our stock.
You didn't want to throw it away, so you just kept it
hidden. Yes. But well, we didn't know how to sell it.
Well, that's quite the story. The marketing
it's a funny, yes, money, funny story.
So, and then your first market, obviously, was France.
Yes. He bought every bottle. He bought every bottle, so we didn't have any stock. So we had to start producing again.
Right, but then it takes at least 3 years
to mature.
The basic whiskey. Mm-hmm. And of course, he has bought something that may be a bit older than that.
Yes.
How did the market react to that sort of a roller coaster of maturity that you had to cope with? Because you already were on the French market with older whiskey, and mm-hmm. and suddenly you have to go back to a younger one. Did you blend anything, or is it only single casks you do?
So we decided to restart the production around 2015, and we decided to produce real Japanese whiskey, which is distilled in Japan, aged in Japan, and then bottled in Japan. That's real Japanese whiskey.
It's not distilled in China and every other place.
No. But our former Togo Uchi blended whiskeys, we also used imported whiskey as well. We wanted to change that.
So now what we're going to taste in a minute is it's 100%
pure Japanese whiskey. Yes.
Is that very important for you, Ko, to have only Japanese product?
Yes. When we started make the blended whiskey 100% Japanese, it's a kind of big goal for us. Yeah, I want to make a whiskey using local material, and also branding way. The people who sell our whiskey want us to make a 100 Japanese blended whiskey. So that was, we things we have to do. Yeah.
I think that we have to taste this now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we can talk more about the product later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very practical because it's a screw cap. Yoko, you do the honors. Perfect, a little jingle bell there.
Yeah. Christmas season.
So I think you have to talk me through this because I have already sniffed a bit, and there's some subtle sweets coming into play here. But can you tell me, Yoko, do you have a purpose behind it? And then please also, Ko, if you have something to add to that.
So this is related to our history. We have a long experience of sake brewing as well. And this is sake cask finish.
How long do you mature sake on casks?
We don't have to mature sake.
You just keep it on
We brew it. And this, for finishing, we use sake cask. And to season the sake, we need sake. So we produce our own sake. We use our own sake to season the cask. And so I think you have like a white grape nuance on nose.
Yeah, I got a distinct tropical fruit flavor.
Yes, it's fruity.
Yeah, no flavor, but smell.
And
a bit coconut, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And there is something else that I can't put my finger on. It's something pungent in mm-hmm. the end here. And I'm wondering, could that be a reminiscence of the sake expression? I don't know. Ko?
I think you found kind of acid, lactic acid, like sour taste, sour smell.
Yeah, that can be it. Yeah.
That's from probably Jinmai, or we... So first, basically, we mature our whiskeys in bourbon barrels, and after that, we finish in sake cask. And for sake cask, we use white wine cask, so it's kind of complicated. So we use white wine cask, we put in the Jinmai and the cask, and we season for about 6 months. We take out the Jinmai, and we refill it with whiskey. That's how we finish our whiskey in the sake cask finish. So maybe there's the white grape nuance, a lactic.
What's very funny is that, to me, mm-hmm. and please correct me if I'm far out here, but on the nose, it's very vibrant. It's full of tropical flavors. It has sort of a promise that, oh, well, it's going to be a nice day. This is a whiskey that I would prefer to have not in the winter time in front of the roaring fire, but instead in a summer day, maybe. But when I taste it, it's quite light, and of course the alcohol is there, and it doesn't deliver all the heavy notes of oak and you know all the things that you would expect. It's very light. It's very easy to drink. It's very pleasant, and even though I talk a couple of minutes after I taste it, it's still there. It's still telling me something on my palate. And so if that was your intention, Ko, you managed to do that. I don't know if you had any drafts drawn up when you made this whiskey, but I find it quite pleasant. And of course, you guys aren't allowed to express what you really feel about it. But is it correct that you want to make an easy, lightweight whiskey that's not too heavy and not too too solemn?
Yes, that's right. Also, you said it's not heavy because we don't use a peated malt for this one. So
no, it's totally absent of the peat. It's not even there. Mm. Would you consider developing your sake whiskey, I can call it that kind of thing, further in the direction of using more Japanese heritage putting into the whiskey? Is that a thought you might have?
Yeah, we make a lot of type of alcohol, like I said, shochu, sake, cooking wine, etc. So using the technique of other alcohol is kind of strength of our company, I think.
And you will have a wider range to play at when you're making. Would you consider this as a special edition, or are you going to develop this as a regular brand of yours?
This is our regular brand, and but we are expanding. We're making many limited series. For example, there's rum cask finish. Limited edition, sold. It was released in 2025 this year, and limited amount.
Limited is the word here. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you make rum in Japan?
In some parts, yes.
But you don't.
No, we don't.
Well, you have to start with that, I think. Okay. So, what's your? Told me in the beginning that you've been all around Europe now and visiting your major markets, and you ended up here in the far north. and as we established, France is your major European market. But which other markets can we find your brand in? Which other countries?
France and other countries. We've just been to the Netherlands, and the Netherlands in the whiskey market is quite unique. They're more like leaning to malt whiskey. So we do produce malt whiskey as well. There are many whiskey enthusiasts. So we are quite new in the market, but they're all welcoming us. We're very honored and grateful to be there. And we're looking forward to growing our brand in the Netherlands.
So you are making not special editions, but you are adapting your whiskey to different markets as it goes on. Then that's quite unique, actually. How do you find the future of your company, looking at how the markets are developing in the world today with, you know, the economic turmoil? Everything is more expensive, the freight rates and so on. Do you have any thoughts about the future, like 5-10 years ahead?
For us, our purpose of business is not just selling alcohol. Maybe we have to make a fun. To make a fun, we can use alcohol. So we have to let our customer enjoy. So we actually started a new new place, new distillery, starting distillation from last month. And we had a visitor center to people visit, people who visit the distillery can enjoy. So, and we are thinking about what we gonna do for them. So that's, I don't know how many years, like 5 years, 10 years, we should concentrate to make people enjoy.
Well, that's a very noble thought that you're building something around the distillery and you are contributing to the tourist traffic, I imagine. And if I have to make a note, people visiting Hiroshima because mm-hmm. of the sad story from Second World War will absolutely need a visit mm-hmm. to a nice distillery, I think.
Thank you.
So that's that would be very welcome, I suppose. So. This whiskey, I'm going to turn on to Norwegian in a very short while. And but before I do that, thank you so much for attending my show.
Thank you for having us.
And coming to Drink Feed. And for you guys listening who understand Norwegian, you can follow my summary right now. Ja, da har vi smakt denne nydelige whiskyen. Altså, da sier jeg nydelig, fordi dette var faktisk en overraskelse for meg, egentlig. Toguchi, som sagt, er et sted hvor de hadde noen huler en gang i tiden, hvor de bare stablet en haug med tønner inn som de ikke visste hva de skulle gjøre med, og plutselig så var det blitt et produkt, gitt. Denne her med sake, tønnefinishen, er jo veldig spesiell. Det er så mange toner her, jeg kjenner inn alle, men ikke sammen, og det er litt kult. Hvis du skal gå på pole, så finner du den der faktisk i basis fra januar. Så jeg vet ikke når du hører på at det er sånn, men januar 2006 skal den i hvert fall være i basis. Så må du bare sjekke ut på Toguchi på bestilling ellers her i verden, hvis du ikke finner den i din lokale butikk. Da tenker jeg vi takker deg fra Oslo og Japan, og så sier vi adieu på Japanese. How do you say goodbye in Japanese?
Sayonara.
Sayonara.
Of course, I should know that. Takk skal du ha.
Sayonara.
Thank you.